His name is High.
Verses 4 to 10 of 1 Peter chapter 2. And here we see exactly what God bestows upon us who are his chosen people, his chosen generation. And we take it up in verse 4. 1 Peter chapter 2, and he says, coming to him as to a living stone, rejected indeed of men, but chosen by God and precious. You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is also contained in the scriptures, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes in on him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore, to you who believe, he is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offence. They stumble, being disobedient to the word, to which they also were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people or peculiar people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvellous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Father, may this word bring life, salvation, healing, deliverance to us now, we ask, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name. Well, I'm calling this teaching today, The Ministry of a Royal Priest. A Ministry of a Royal Priest. Are these simply words? Are these things that the Holy Spirit is saying to us? Or is this also to be experienced? Something that we enter into? The whole of the deeper life teaching is never going to make any sense unless we experience it. We enter into it. We are entering in to the promised land. We know the children of Israel failed this through unbelief, through rebellion, and so on. But there is still that land to possess and experience. And we, of course, now in this life, while we wait for the coming Lord Jesus Christ, we are entering in by faith. So it's an experience that first comes spiritually by faith. Everything has to come by that means. And if you are still very much bound by the flesh, you will not experience, you will not understand that everything has to be received by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Hebrews 11:1. We embrace it, we receive it by faith. That is how God has set it. That is his plan. That is what sorts out those who will receive by faith. You may say to me, oh, but brother, you just don't know how I feel. You don't know what my week's been like. You don't know what the past month has been like and anything. And the thought of walking by faith, well, it's just fantasy. It's delusional. It's words. Well, those words, these words, the word of God is a living seed. And it takes root into our lives, in our hearts, to make it that reality. So that the reality continues to convince you that this is true. That it's not just words. We do walk by faith. God is there. And he's going to bless. And so on. Now, the reason that I'm labouring all of this, because this is really now the congregation of the people. This is speaking to God's people, God's chosen people, who are set apart, who come, who are part of the body of Christ, who come together, like today in such of a meeting, but we come as priests. And I think sometimes we forget that role, that function. And yet there's so much contained to this, the ministry of a royal priest or a priesthood. And he speaks about himself, that living stone, that foundation, whose name is Jesus. And he can be a blessing, but he can also be a curse. And he is a blessing to those who believe. Now, we need just to go over very quickly our understanding of the priesthood. Now, we know in the Old Testament, until the law came, each head of a family, the male, the head of the family, before the law was established through Moses, he was the type of priest. And he supplicated for the family. He was the spiritual one who watched over the spiritual side of the family. When God called out Israel and made her a nation, again, he was going to establish this priestly role. And so Moses was a type of high priest. We know this because he supplicated many times for Israel. In fact, we know on one occasion he said to God, "If you destroy Israel, you destroy me." What was he doing there? He was acting the role of a priest, standing in the gap, a mediator. Now, as I was preparing this, I sort of became aware, you know, why do we have these things? Why do we have them? What is the purpose? Well, we know right from the fall, the time of Adam, when he fell, the high priest was there to cover him, to cover both of them. What is this covering? It is covering us from God. It's actually protecting us. Because otherwise, God being God, being what he is, who he is, sovereign, holy, and we really don't have much of a clue. We use these as words. But God is protecting us from himself. He knows we will be destroyed. We will be simply obliterated by his very presence, who and what he is. So the priestly role, is a type of mediator. He is a go-between. He is the one that if you like, is protecting from God himself. He has that standing before God that very few have. We know that through Moses. Nobody under the old covenant had a standing before God like Moses had. He was a type of God on the earth. He was a type of Christ. And not only did he teach the people, but he was protecting the people from God. We know that, I've just told you, because he said, "You destroy them, you better destroy me as well." And God can do that. You know why? Because God made covenant. God had made a promise, you see. Are you beginning to get the picture of all of this? Israel was to be priests and kings to the earth, to the people of the earth. That was their calling. And they were to be trained under the law to take on that priestly role. But, as usual, you know it, they violated the law. And so the law then, through the Aaronic priesthood, Aaron, continued. And they rebelled, offered up strange fire, and so on. So in the end, it's all put to one side. But does God give up on all of this? He doesn't at all. That ministry of priesthood is now given to us, the church, through Jesus Christ. And we know this because Jesus has taken on that role, risen from the dead. He now sits at the right hand of the Father and he continues to protect us from God, his glory, his presence, his majesty, his sovereignty, and everything he is. He is still protecting. There is still that protection going on. And that is why he supplicates, he intercedes. But what is new about this ministry, this royal priesthood? We no longer have to go into the holies of holies and to rely upon the priest who would go into the holies of holies and offer up the blood of the lamb on the mercy seat. We know the rent of the veil was torn in two. It's now been dealt with in the flesh. And Christ gave up his flesh unto death. It had to require death to appease the wrath of God against sin. And because he is the anointed one, he is the one who is risen, triumphed over death, God the Father has given him all authority and dominion. And he will no longer question. He will no longer think. He will always, every time Jesus asks of the Father, he will not question what he asks. You have it. It's yours. It's yours. And so he takes that role of supplication, that role of priesthood. And that is why you and I and all the saints in the room are here today. But it doesn't stop there. He now has made us a royal priesthood. We know that. We have just read that to you from 1 Peter 2. We now have become that royal priesthood. So we see then that this ministry of priesthood is still important. We become Christ-like. He now dwells and lives within us. And so because he dwells and lives within us by his Spirit, because he is now a royal priest, he is the priest seated at the right hand of the Father, we have received that power, that anointing through him to be likewise as well. He lives in us and we live in him. All that he is, we are in him, through him, through Christ Jesus. Amen. So it is that priestly ministry, that royal priesthood. And yet, do we really understand this? Are we really entering into the experience of what this should be in the house of God? Because we now, through Christ, have received this priesthood. Turn with me to Hebrews, the book of Hebrews 5 and verse 1. Hebrews 5 and verse 1. For every high priest taken from among men is appointed for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. We do that through our prayers, our intercessions for those who we pray for, loving our enemies, doing good, and so on. It still continues. I'm going to look at that later on. Let's look also what the book of Revelation has to say with regard to this. Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 to 6. Revelation 1, 4 to 6. Here is where the introduction to the seven churches. And he said, John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead, and the ruler over the kings of the earth, to him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion for ever and ever. Amen. So Christ has wrought for us, for you, for me, raising from the dead, seated at the right hand of the Father, he says, he has now made you and I kings and priests unto our heavenly Father. He's given you that authority. He's made you it by what it cost him on the cross. So the question we raise is then, do we understand this? Is this my experience? Am I functioning in this priestly role? This priestly role now is neither male nor female, but is spiritual before God. Quite different, and yet its function, its ministry is still fundamentally the same. In fact, I would say it's even better. We find it in the book of Hebrews, and the key word of the book of Hebrews is better. Everything is better. So we've got even a better priestly ministry. So the question is, what are we doing with it, brothers and sisters? We have access to God in the holies of holies. That is mind-blowing. Under the old covenant, they'd have been knocked off their feet if they heard such statements. And yet, so often we take it all for granted. And look, here we are in Hebrews 10, verses 19 to 22. Hebrews 10, 19 to 22. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith or hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And it says, and it goes on, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Look what's there that's required of our ministry. That's our ministry there. Now the question I'm going to raise today is, are we, am I, fulfilling this? Let's just look at it again and break it down. It says, therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So that boldness is a sign you're understanding this. You know what you have received and have been given through Jesus Christ. So therefore, this boldness, there is this authority. There is something authoritative that you have been given, that you have with Almighty God and with man. So there's the first thing. And then we see it's by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. So his offering, the sacrifice, his flesh, the giving up unto death, that is the new way, the new approach, that is the new priesthood that is coming forth in the last days. So with that in mind, we have this high priest over the house of God, that is the assembly of the people of God, where two or three are gathered together in his name. In other words, that anointing, that presence of God himself. He then says to us, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. So note how we come in the house of God. When we come together in such like meetings like this, we come making sure that our heart is right. That is absolutely important, that our consciences are right, that we know we are washed, we are sprinkled by the blood of the Lamb, and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, you're getting this speech that he's using, the type of what the priesthood had to do to wash, purification. Well, what washes us now? The Word of God. So we are washed. Am I here today? Am I allowing this Word to wash me? To cleanse me? Is it doing the work, the job? That's what it's about. That's what we're talking about. And so he says, if it is, let's hold fast the confession of our faith or our hope without wavering. So in other words, it's an ongoing process. It is a work, and I hold on to this by faith. Whatever it looks like, however I feel, whatever the circumstances, whatever the enemy's playing up my mind or whatever, we hold on to it by faith. I know some of us, and including myself, we're going through a period where all we can see is yuck and muck. Because there's a lot coming to the surface as he's purifying. And you long for see that gold. And it is there. But it's at the moment, there's a lot of yuck and muck coming to the surface. And you just think to yourself, well, I wonder if I can be saved. This is awful. This should never be as a Christian. Praise God. What does it just say there? Let us draw near with a true heart. Let us hold fast our confession, our hope, our faith, without wavering. Why do I do this? Because the one who promised is faithful. That's why. That's why. And that's why I always keep saying, and I will say it again, God made no mistake over your life, my life. I'd like to go back to him and say, are you really sure about all this? Are you actually sure what you're doing with me? But we don't do that. Why should we? He's completely sovereign. But that's what we feel sometimes in our flesh. And so with that then, because we walk by faith and that God's made no mistake over my life, and even though a lot of yuck and filth and everything seems to be coming to the surface at the moment, but because I walk by faith and because I continue to confess what God confesses over me, he then says, well, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So you can consider your brother your sister. And that includes encouraging, praying one for another, standing with one another, and whatever it is. Do you know something? I'm going to tell you something. You know, you never think that a pastor and teacher would ever say this. But sometimes I take great comfort when we come together, have meetings like this. I could take some comfort when I know, or you ring, or it comes back to me, or whatever it is, a brother or sister's going through a trial, or they've missed it a mile off, or whatever it is. You have the privilege of being able to stand in the gap and pray and intercede that their faith fails not. But you know something? Sometimes it can be a source of comfort. Think, oh, praise God, it's not just me. Oh dear, sometimes I think this is just me, and it's not. We're all in this together. We're all on the potter's wheel as he's moulding us, moulding this lump of clay. You know, this is what I'm talking about. Let us hold fast the confession of our faith and hope. Let us consider one another or provoke one another. In order to stir up what? Love and good works. That should be the desire of our heart. When we're showing love and we're stirring up good works, there's even something that just comes from you, that you know you're pleasing your Heavenly Father at that point, what you're doing. He gives you sometimes just a feeling of his presence. What you're doing there pleases my heart. And you know, nothing can take that away. That is such a joy. It's such a pleasure to that. When you're just doing that and you do it unto the Lord. And sometimes it costs us. Yes, there are people in the world that just bring the worst out of you. They just, to show the love of God, this has to be God that will do this. But you know, if we just make ourselves available and just get our mind out of it, we'll find a power that begins to work on our behalf. And you think, that was a miracle, that. It was a miracle. I'll be totally honest with you. A while back, I was in the queue in Sainsbury's, and there was this man there, so dishevelled, in rags, but it was the smell that came from him. And nobody, sort of, everyone was standing back, you know. I think he was also an alcoholic, and often this happens. And I just knew, it was so obvious, people were turning their back on him or standing away. And I just said, Lord Jesus, please enable and help me to do what you would do. For you died for him as much for me. And the next thing I find I'm moving closer to him, nearer to him. And suddenly it doesn't matter anymore. It doesn't matter. And he was obviously picking up the fact that I wasn't offended by him or whatever. God wasn't dealing with him. God was dealing with me.
Yeah.
He was dealing with pride. I was offended. But I was offended that people can let themselves get in such a state. Well, who am I to judge that? I don't know what his life has been like.
That's right.
I don't know what happened to him or happened to him as a child. He could be the victim of abuse. You name it, I don't know. That's the whole point. But it freed me up to be able to intercede and supplicate for him. Was it easy? No, it wasn't. But the point was, I knew God had made no mistake at that checkout. None whatsoever. That was tailor-made for me. You know? And because you don't want to see people live and walk that way and go down to such depths that way. You don't want that, you know? But the greatest thing we can do, and maybe we don't always have to say anything, but you can supplicate, you can pray, you can hold that man or that woman or whoever before God. You know, the enemy gets us so bound up, doesn't he, in this? You feel, well, I've got to go over and I've got to say something to them, or maybe go and buy them some food or whatever. You feel that compulsion, you've got to do that. And I've walked away feeling really condemned and saying, Lord, have I made a mistake here? Should I go back? Should I say something? Does he or she need to hear the good news of the gospel? And God says to me, bring them before the throne of mercy. Apply my blood over their life, their soul. Now, this has happened to me on a number of occasions because I have felt really guilty. You know, it's all very well to speak words, but you show action. And I think God has been showing me what the ministry of a priest, the royal priesthood, is. It is first and foremost supplication. prayer, intercession for whoever God shows you. And if as a result from that, it means you go up to them or you buy them a meal or you take them home or whatever, that has come out of your intercession, your role as a priesthood. And this has been a big help for me because I have had a lot of guilt in this area, and the Satan knows how to tie you up in knots. I'll admit I am the first person. I'm not very good at that sort of thing. There are some people who seem to have that natural boldness about them and they just go up and, you know, and so forth. We're all different. I'm not of that mould. Not that I'm trying to make excuses, but it doesn't come that easy to me. Mm-hmm. People would say, well, I'm shy. Yes, I am shy, I suppose. But that doesn't let me off the hook. And I don't want to be left off the hook. I still want to be used of God. And you know, it gives me such hope when I see what my function and your function is to be priests. Because we need to know what the role and function of a priest is. Which brings me to the next point with all of this. So what is this priestly role that we have? What is it? Well, I've already given you some brief introduction to this, but let's take this a step further. What does a priest do? Well, a priest offers him or herself on that living altar for that role. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Present yourself as a living sacrifice. You know it, you read it many, many times. So there is the first thing the priest will do. I offer myself for that role, and here I am on the altar. Do what you will with me. That's what we're doing. That is the deeper life. That is discipleship. I have been preaching that one for over 40 years. Yes, it's over 40 years, brothers and sisters. It's getting longer than, well, it's getting longer than Moses. Although, of course, Moses had to be prepared also for his ministry. So there we are. We offer ourselves as living sacrifice. The second thing, we offer up praises to God and thanks. That is very important. So we are thanking, we are praising the God, the Lord. For example, as it says in Hebrews 13 and verse 15, Hebrews 13, verse 15, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. So we have learned as priests what praise, what thanks, what acknowledgement means to God. You might not get much out of it, but it's what it gives to him. So my way of giving to God, not only my whole self, my heart, my being, but also with that to acknowledge him, to thank him, to praise him, to worship him. In a continual manner. In other words, that is my attitude 24/7. And that is why it's called a sacrifice of praise. Because there are times we don't feel like doing. You certainly don't feel like doing it if you don't feel very well. It's about the last thing you want to do. And yet, we do it because that pleases him. That is what he wants. That is what honours him and so forth. Now, don't try and understand it. Just do it. And you will find you will begin to understand more and more the sacrifice of praise and what it means to God. So that when we come or we come together and we worship and we praise him and you offer up your prayers, your thanksgiving and everything, You are doing that because you have a revelation what that means to him. Because it's not about you or about me. That's the role of a priesthood. And thirdly, the role of a priest is fellowship and communion with God. You have that place with God where it is you and God in communion with him. You don't have to go far through a man. You don't have to go through an elder. You don't have to go and get permission from anything or anyone. You have that access, that boldness as a priest in the very presence and holies of holies with Almighty God. Wow. I just think about it. That is what you and I have. And he never turns us away. He's always there, ready for us, to receive us, to come into his presence. So you have that continual 24/7 unbroken fellowship, communion with God. And fourthly, we're still talking about the ministry of a royal priest. You have that calling, that authority, that role, that function for service to do good. No matter how small, how menial, or how big, whatever it is, we have what we do in the nature that it's good. It's right. It's proper. It's bringing pleasure. It's bringing joy. It's bringing some peace or whatever it is. Maybe just smiling at someone. But that's doing good. And we have that authority before God to do that. Being kind, gentle towards one another. Spending time interested in our brother or sister. And fifthly and finally, and here it is, of course, I've been touching on it right through, but the last one, I've kept it to the last. You have one of the greatest ministries, and that is to pray. To pray. Every time you pray, whether it's for your family, your neighbour, your boss, your friend, whatever, you are appealing to the blood of Jesus for that soul as an intercessor. And that is why I continue to encourage you never to give up. Never to give up on your family. Never to give up on your loved ones or whoever they are. You have that standing before God to confess and bring them before the throne of grace. That is what we have as intercessors. That's our priestly service. Let's look at Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Colossians chapter 4 and verse 12. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, labouring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. Epaphras is a priest, a royal priest. He has learned something of his calling. What does it say? Epaphras, who, what, is one of you. Not an apostle in that sense, not a prophet, teacher. He may well have a role, or may did, I don't know. But the point is, he's referring, he's like you. He's part of the body of Christ. Look what he does. He's a bondservant of Christ. In other words, he has given his life back to God. Doesn't belong to me anymore. He greets you always, And here it is, labouring fervently for you in prayers, that you what? Will stand perfect, complete in all the will of God. What a prayer, eh? Mm. That's what we pray for each one of us, that you will stand complete, perfect in Christ. Many times I've had the privilege of praying that your faith will fail not. Lord, help them to stand in this trial. That their eyes will be firmly fixed on Jesus and no one else. You know God will answer that. You know, even before you open your mouth, that prayer has been answered. Because that is the Father's heart. That is the role of a priest. That is what you're doing. And we are going to be so blessed when we make it into heaven, into the kingdom of God. Because we're going to see people there that you didn't think. Heaven's going to be made up of saints. And we're all going to be very, very surprised. And many of them will be there because you functioned as a priest. That's why. Now, if this doesn't encourage us to continue to press on as his royal priesthood, then I don't know what will. So what is the conclusion we can make of all of this? Well, are we willing to take on this ministry? Yes, self out of the way, but is that not worth it in light of eternity? Because everything's passing away. We're all getting older. We all don't look the same 10 years ago. And people, family, some of them, they're not here now. They're gone. Some of them in glory. Everything is moving, changing. You can't rely on anything. Not in this world. It's all, this world is letting people down. And that's why we're seeing the fear and the anxiety and the depression like we are. Because they believe the world has got all the answers. It will hold, you know, it will be eternity for them. You know, you so often hear, don't you, when couples get together, oh, we're going to live forever, you know, eternity forever. I mean, it's the biggest lie, isn't it?
Yeah.
The biggest lie. That's how human beings think. So this ministry means that we offer up ourselves. And as we offer up ourselves to this wonderful ministry, I tell you what will go out the window. Fear, anxiety, worries, disappointments, depressions, you name it. That'll all go out of the window because that is your deliverance. When you offer up yourself because you can't do any more than that. For this wonderful ministry as a priest. In other words, you get yourself unfettered so that he can use you. And it stops you just being a Christian on Sunday or praying when you come together with your brothers and sisters, that your life continues 24/7 walking that Christian life and walk. You see? That's what it's all about. But you know, as I bring this to an end, a priest pours his or her life out. There are times when he or she is putting their own life at risk to stand in the gap, as Moses was prepared to do. And finally, this ministry is always redemptive in nature. It is appealing to the mercy of God. As you and I have had mercy, so we appeal to that same mercy. That mercy that you had on me, Father, is the mercy that I appeal before you over whoever it is you're praying for. What a ministry, eh? What a ministry. Well, I trust that you have been encouraged and helped by this. I know as I was preparing this, you know, you think you know a thing or two and you've arrived at whatever it is, and you you find that there's still infinitely more to learn, is there not? Father, we thank you, Lord. You are so gracious and merciful. You have taught us so much today as your priests, the royal priesthood, what our role, what our function is, how we are to pray, to supplicate, to stand in the gap, and how you have given us a boldness to stand before you in order to function in this way. Lord, forgive us, Lord, that we lose sight of this, that we can be so caught up with ourselves and our own trivial things in light of eternity in the kingdom of God. Oh, Father, help us. But Lord, you know all things, and you are ever preparing us and changing us, empowering us for such roles and functions. We know it can't be done naturally speaking. And that's why you've said in your word, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And that is why we have been baptized, filled, empowered by the spirit of the living God, in order that we take on that priestly role as intercessor, as you are the great intercessor seated at the right hand of the Father. Father, what a privilege, what an honor to be able to pray, to intercede for someone, or people who you lay on our hearts. That is that they might have eternal life, that they will escape hell. As somebody prayed for us, for me, that is why we're here today, Lord. Forgive us, Lord, that we can neglect this, that we can be so cavalier about this at times. Forgive us, Lord. The greatest thing we can do is pray for a soul. And the joy will be, Lord, when we come to heaven, we will see the results of what our prayers, our intercessions have done. Oh, thank you, Father, for this. And Lord, may we always offer up praise and worship and thanks that is pleasing to your heart. Yes, even the sacrifice of praise at times. Lord, may each of us and all those who hear this teaching may fulfill this for your glory. For this we ask now in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus' name.
Bless the Lord.